From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The U.S. House of Representatives passes an apology for slavery and segregation.
We have worked to form a more perfect union, and part of forming a more perfect union is laws, and part of it is such a resolution as we have before us today, where we face up to our mistakes and we apologize, as anyone should apologize, for things that were done in the past that were wrong.
And a new report pulls back the curtain on the Department of Justice. It says officials used political discrimination when hiring staff. Here to break down the details are Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. And Mary Frances Berry, a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania. She's also the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. Welcome back to the show, folks.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Farai.
So let's start out with the slavery apology. Yesterday, the House issued a formal apology for, quote, fundamental injustice, cruelty, brutality, and inhumanity of slavery and the legal segregation of African Americans. So, Mary, we've seen a lot of state apologies, but this is the first federal one. What's the significance?
Right. And as you probably know, I've done a lot of work on this subject in a book called My Face is Black is True, Callie Howson's Struggle for Reparations, 1890s reparations movement led by a black woman. But here's what, and I cover this subject in the book, here's what I think has happened, is for years now, advocates have been trying to get an apology. And always, whenever they tried to do that, folks would say, that's going to lead to reparations. And what has happened is two things. One, states, local communities have already apologized, so many of them have already done that. The Congress has already apologized for other nefarious activities that happened in the past that were awful. And a woman named Deidre Farmer-Palman, who is a black woman lawyer, brought a bunch of cases against banks and other private entities, making it clear that this wasn't just about the government paying, you know, reparations or anything. So that relieves some of the pressure. And you have the Democrats in charge, and John Conyers has been pushing for some kind of study commission to look at all these issues for a long time. So it's not risky anymore to have an apology, and it's about time to have one. And it's a way station, and I think it's good for Congressman Cohen, who introduced it, who's a congressman from Memphis, who's in a tough race with a black opponent and who's trying to win. So he was the right guy to try to introduce it. So it's not as risky as it used to be.
Ron, let's talk a little bit about Cohen. He's a white Democrat representing a majority black district in Memphis. He's been challenged by a black Democrat who has the support overall of the Congressional Black Caucus, but one member of the caucus, a very influential member, John Conyers, did endorse Cohen. So do you think this apology really came out of a campaign strategy?
I hope not. And with all due respect to my good friend the professor here, I mean, people wonder why the American people hold Congress approval rating at 9%. We have skyrocketing gasoline prices. We have a whole host of other issues that we need to confront. And a member of Congress who's seeking re-election, seeking re-election, is worried about a apology resolution? Are you kidding me? I mean, I'm just and apologizing to whom? I mean, I'm a direct descendant of slaves. My grandparents still own a plantation in, right outside of Valdosta, Georgia, that used to be a plantation home. Who are the people in Congress apologizing to? Me? These people didn't wrong me. The people in Congress certainly didn't harm my relatives. I think it is such a waste of time and a waste of the taxpayers' dollars to make an apology right now that to me just looks political and shallow. We need to bring down energy prices. We need to confront the war on terrorism. Having a slavery reparation, or excuse me, a slavery apology seems to me to be an absolute waste of the people's time.
Well, who was harmed was what they were apologizing for was that the Congress of the United States legally endorsed slavery.
I know, Mary. I read the resolution.
Jim Crow. And so what they're saying is they're apologizing. And how long did it take? About 10 minutes to pass the doggone thing. Yes, they should deal with all of these other issues. I agree with you. Absolutely, they should deal with them. And also, Congress does have this approval rating problem. I don't disagree with any of that. But I think the time that was spent on it and the fact that it was relatively non-controversial and you could get it passed. There are a lot of things they can't get passed that they went ahead and took this easy one. It's easy now. It wouldn't have been easy 10 years ago. It wouldn't have been easy 15 years ago. There were great battles about whether this should be done. But now it's an easy thing to do.
Do you think, Mary and Ron, I'm going to ask you the same thing, that this is going to lead to reparations? You said, Mary, that basically there have been...
Here's what I think is going to happen for her. I think that Deidre Farmer Paulman is going to continue to bring her lawsuits against the banks and everybody else. She's got the first lawsuit that the Court of Appeals sent back for a trial, so that it'll actually be a trial on these private entities. I think that Conyers at some point will try to convene a committee hearing on the idea of whether it should be studied, I think. The other day, I think Obama told the Unity Conference something. It was reported that he said something like he waffled and when he was asked about reparations and said, well, there are many different ways to have reparations, education, so on, all of which I agree with. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but I think that there may be a study commission to do it, not to have reparations, but to study the issue, one of those things.
And continuing my theme, Farai, for being a fiscal conservative, this is a monumental waste of time and money. And I certainly hope that reparations never come to be. I think that there are many young people in the United States, as Mary said, who've been able to succeed and to overcome past discrimination through the education system, through diversity in the workplace. But giving a cash payment to people who aren't directly impacted by slavery, and, of course, the flip example would be those who were interned on the West Coast, the Japanese Americans who were interned, who were directly harmed. I just think reparations is a terrible idea. I think Mary's right. We'll probably get a study or some sort of a report issued, but hopefully it dies there.
You know, one thing I think, like most journalists and certainly you guys as political thinkers, you do get a chance to find interesting facts about history. And one of them is that much of the Capitol was actually built by slaves, and the symbol on top of the Capitol building was actually poured by enslaved metal workers. Do you think that there is a symbolic, regardless of your position on the fiscal issues and the focus of government, do you think that there is some symbolic change
let
of the guard?
Let me answer that for Rye. He spoke last to the question. Let me just say that, first of all, the folks that I wrote about in My Face is Black is True were actual slaves who asked for reparations. They asked for pensions. They were old people dying out, and they were all sick, and they needed some help. And that was in the 1890s. I think that if there are any descendants of those people walking around that anybody can identify, since they were courageous enough to ask for something, they might be first in line for anything anybody's going to hand out. But in any case, I think that it is largely symbolic. The interesting thing to me is that the time has come now that what would have been risky for somebody to propose 15 years ago or even 10 years ago in the Congress, it would happen before somebody proposed it, and it didn't happen. Now it was just easy. It was proposed, and everybody said yes, and they went on that way. It shows how the time has changed, and it is largely symbolic. But symbolism means a lot to some people.
And it does. And let me just say very quickly that it's my understanding that when the Capitol Visitor Center opens later this year or early next, that they are going to have an exhibition that discusses the role of slaves in constructing not only the Capitol, but the White House as well. Mm-hmm. So from a symbolic perspective, it's very important to recognize, as Mary has suggested, where we have evolved from as a country to where we are now. But the notion of reparations or issuing an apology, I just, again, think is a waste of time.
All right, guys, I want to do a quick hit on another topic. News from the Justice Department's Inspector General. That office found that top aides to the former Attorney General, Alberto Gonzalez, violated federal law by hiring employees based on political leanings. In this case, liberals out, conservatives in. So, Ron, was this fair? What's going to happen?
Well, I have to tell you, and this whole controversy surrounds whether or not the then Justice Department Chief of Staff, Kyle Sampson, and the counselor to the Attorney General, Monica Goodling, were improperly looking at people based on their political leanings. You can be hired for any reason or fired for any reason whatsoever if you're a political appointee. That is, you've been appointed by the president. But what we're talking about in this case is civil service people, those folks who are staffing the government, regardless of who is in charge of the White House, regardless of who's the president. They were found to have broken the law by improperly asking questions about party affiliation, abortion, etc. I think it's despicable. I worked in the White House for 3.5 years. I've been in politics for 17 years. If these folks were improperly asking questions of non-political entities and making judgments and decisions that is against the law, I think they deserve to have the full force of the law brought against them. We need to have integrity in our government system. The bureaucracy runs most of our government. That is, is most of the thousands of people who work for the federal government are not political appointees. They do not deserve to have this form of pressure in a Republican or a Democrat administration.
Mary?
I just wonder how widespread it is. I mean, I'm not surprised about politics and political questions being asked. You know, it's just like being in an illegal pub and wondering whether there's illegal activity going on. Yeah, sure there is. So politics always does come into play, but I was just shocked at the extremes that this Goodling woman went to. Some people in other administrations, they might look around and wonder whether somebody's politics is X, Y, or Z, but no one had the temerity, as far as I know, going back a number of years, to ask any of those questions. I just wonder if the Justice Department was the only place and whether there was some kind of climate that made it appear to people that they could do this and get away with it and that it was okay. I don't know the answer to that, but I'm just wondering if it was isolated to the Justice Department. And what it also tells us that when a new administration comes in, whatever party it is, they've got to clean house thoroughly.
Clean house and make it dirty again?
They've got to clean house and make sure that the civil servants are not used and abused in that way, and those positions are not used and abused in that way. It's for good reason. They're supposed to give you their best judgment without regard to politics and be sort of the permanent government that is in place, and then the political appointees can put their spin or whatever it is they wish to put on whatever it is. But there ought to be some reliable place. I mean, it's sort of like an EPA. If the civil servants come up with some data about something, then they shouldn't be told to change the data. The politicals can spin it however they want to, but you don't want to interfere with civil servants because they are the permanent government.
All right. On that note, gotta go. Mary, Ron, thank you.
Pleasure, ladies.
Mary Frances Berry is a professor of history at the University of Pennsylvania and the former chair of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission. And Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying group DC Navigators. They both joined us from our NPR studios in Washington, D.C.